Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Tan Chung Han. Time to have a quick look at inflation globally. And to help us with that is Vishnu Vardhan from Mizuho Bank in Singapore.
Good morning, Vishnu. All right, so it's a week of major central bank decisions and also inflation data. Let's start with the UK. Inflation there hit 3.1% last month, its highest in over 5 years. What do you make of that?
I think we had the data going towards 3% and you know, at risk of breaching 3%, mostly due to the fact that the pound sterling had fallen so sharply. So it's a lot of imported inflation because the sterling is a lot weaker. But it's not all about the British pound. I think at the margin, we do find that that there are things a little bit like transportation costs have fallen less, in particular airfare. And also energy costs is creeping up. So electricity tariffs are going up. But the big picture for inflation is, as the effects of the pound, the weaker pound, because the pound is stabilizing, that will fade out in 2018. So the expectation is inflation will stabilize around 3% and perhaps head back lower much later into 2018. So it's not a risk of accelerating inflation.
Still stabilizing around 3%, though, but does that, you know, alter your outlook on the BOE's monetary policy? Because, I mean, keep in mind we've got that rate decision due tomorrow, Thursday, and Mark Carney just hiked UK rates last month.
That's a very good question. I mean, at the face of it, if you look at it, at the numbers, it suggests that, you know, Mike Carney may be under more pressure to hike, but the truth is quite far from that. They've gone into a prolonged hold phase. So I don't think that's going to change our outlook or the way Carney assesses things. And the next hike will not come until much later in 2018 for two reasons. One is, Mark Carney, of course, sees this, the technical parts of inflation creeping up and it not being a trend. More importantly, he also is quite wary of the downside risks to the economy, particularly from Brexit negotiations and uncertainties around. And last but not least, I think the way he looks at inflation is whether it is driven by the economy picking up, the so-called demand pool pressures, or just supply side. That's to say, because oil prices went a bit higher, energy prices going a bit higher, whereas the economy itself is not doing better.
And I think computer games also factored into November's inflation figures there. Vishnu, you highlighted an important point. You know, we have that Brexit negotiations that is an overhang on the UK economy. But we had that Brexit breakthrough late last week. I mean, still a long road ahead for the UK and also the EU. Which factor do you think will weigh more on Mark Carney's policy decisions? Will it be economic inflation, etc., or will it be geopolitical risks?
That's a hard one to choose. I mean, I dare say that in terms of setting out a fundamental path for where policy should go, that's certainly driven by economic factors and is especially not going to be driven by too many of these headline swings in the Brexit sentiments. I mean, one day it's good, the other day it's bad. I mean, the latest news is that EU has suggested that there won't be early negotiations until, so this may be deferred till March. That said, I think the economy is on a rather even keel. They don't expect it to accelerate very much. So the risk of Mike Carney hiking rates because of the economy is somewhat lower compared to him holding back because of downside risks that could be in the pipeline. So he would, at the margin, react a little bit more to geopolitical risks.
All right, so we're also expecting that pairing of inflation data and also monetary policy decision this week. Any chance of some excitement on the continent? Because we've got the ECB set to make its monetary policy decision this week as well. And then on Friday, we've got Eurozone inflation. You know, do you think dovish Draghi will be a prevailing theme this week?
Very much so. I mean, Draghi is very well known for playing the long game. And he's a very nuanced player, so he knows exactly how to play his hand. So at the last meeting, Draghi had already laid out the so-called taper plan, so their bond buying is going to drop by half from 60 billion euros a month to 30 billion euros a month next year, and committed to continue till September. I don't think Draghi needs to make any move at all, and I don't think Draghi will overreact to pipeline energy price pressures. I think he'll remain quite neutral about things, saying that they will assess this as things go along. And I think he'll maintain a little bit of his dovish bias, saying that they're open to doing more in terms of policy stimulus, not less.
All right, now let's look at something in the more immediate future, Vishnu. Tonight at 9:30 p.m. Malaysian time, we are looking out for U.S. inflation data for November. What are your expectations on that front?
If we took a page out of two things, one is the U.K. inflation, where some of the price pressures were owed ultimately to energy factors, which are global factors. And also, if you look at U.S. PPI, the producer price inflation, that also surprised a little bit on the upside. So it does look like U.S. CPI is going to come out rather firm. You know, on the headline, it'll be well above 2% at about 2.3. Core will be about 1.8. None of this will distract from the fact that the Fed will continue to tighten this week. But beyond that, I think the page is still a blank one. I think they will make this up as they go along. The only thing to take note of is with oil prices holding a little firmer, and if the tax reforms go through, chances are the Fed is going to stick to the script and do as much as they say they will.
Now, you say that they'll make it up as they go along, though. Then what happens to their credibility, though? Because, you know, when it comes to, say, looking at the employment figures, right? Yeah, you know, the private sector, non-farm payrolls, that's been growing up. But wage growth, that has been lacking, though. Seriously. So, you know, again, can the Fed still make it up as they go along? Or are they confined to the data that's being presented, you know, and that's being put on the table?
I like that you asked that. I mean, that continues to be the perennial problem with the Fed. They've got what you call a so-called wageless recovery in the job market. So unemployment numbers are really low. Employment is being rather robust, but they don't see the wage increments coming through. What they have committed in their last dot plot, that's to say their projections of where interest rates will rise next year, they say they're going to do three more in 2018. Today, they'll be releasing a fresh set of that dot plot. We think they'll stick to the script and say, three is still, you know, in the bag for next year. But of course, they don't use as flimsy language as I do in saying that they'll make it up as they go along. But they do put in the caveat about data dependence, which is pretty much the same thing. At the margin, however, two things are happening. If the tax reforms go through, that's going to add a bit of momentum to the economy. And there's a bit of a quirk because the post-cyclone rebuilding will also keep inflation and some of the growth numbers a little firmer. So chances are they will go ahead with the three so long as there are no negative shocks to the economy. Where they make it up as they go along is if unexpectedly there's some slowdown in the economy, they can and will hold their horses, providing full justification for that. So I don't think that will subtract from the credibility.
Shouldn't the bias be on the upside, though, because we still have that proposed tax reform or those tax cuts? If that goes through next year, you know, shouldn't that be an upside to the U.S. economy?
Certainly. I mean, at the margin, what we are thinking is because and if the tax reform goes through, then they're certainly going to stick to the at least three hikes. But they wouldn't want to accelerate this too much either for two reasons. One is they're not entirely sure how the tax reforms and the tax cut will translate into companies with the extra cash actually spending it. So that's the unknown that they haven't assessed yet. And the other point is the one that you rightly pointed out. They are still a little bit intrigued by the fact that despite a recovery in the labor market, wages are not pushing up higher. So that is another reason why they will not play this too fast. At the end of the day, they do say that the so-called neutral rates, that's to say at the point where they think interest rates will settle, is seen to be much lower today than it was 10 years ago. So they don't have too much further up to go, and they don't have to rush about it, which is why three hikes seems about right, even with the tax reforms.
Well, still plenty of uncertainty on that front, but in the near term, Fed Fund futures calling for a 100% chance of a rate hike overnight to Malaysian time. Vishnu, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. That was Vishnu Varadhan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank in Singapore.
We'll be back with more discussions, IPOs, M&As, PEs, and VCs. Veritable alphabet soup that's coming up your way. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.